Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 1 to 16 as well as 23 to 26. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a traveler's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow, falsehood. And not truth has grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor, and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression, and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. For what else can I do because of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peace to his neighbor. But in his heart, he plans an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? And shall I not avenge on a nation such as this? I will take up weeping and wailing for the mountains and a lamentation for the pastures of the wilderness. Because they are laid waste so that no one passes through and the lowing of cattle is not heard. Both the birds of the air and the beasts have fled and are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a lair of jackals. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant. Who is the man so wise that he can understand this? To whom has the mouth of the Lord spoken that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts and have gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed these people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says the Lord, verse 23, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh, Egypt, Judah, Edom, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all who dwell in the desert, who cut the corners of their hair. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. This is the word of God.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. It's my privilege today to share God's word with you. Shall we go to God in prayer? Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we are privileged today to come in this manner to worship you, to listen to your word. May the word speak from your servant's mouth. Will not return to you empty, but fulfill in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing the series of Jeremiah. This is the second week, and today we'll look at Jeremiah chapter 9. I have shared during my past sermons that I was in Tajikistan for 2 years. Tajikistan was a war-torn, poor country. At the time, for our safety in the country, we had to carry a walkie-talkie wherever we were so as to keep us informed of any emergencies. We also needed to be accountable to our housemates wherever we went. We were always on high alert because the country was not politically stable. I was there from 97 to 99. In November 98, civil war broke out between the government and the opposition party, which has caught the world's attention. And this was also reported in our Singapore Straits Times. At the time, the news about the civil war was very sudden to the people, and we only had weeks to prepare. Fear and anxiety rose in the air. Uncertainty of the future set in day by day. We had to stop work literally and pray and prepare for the coming civil war. Now, very soon, many locals and foreign non-profit organizations move out of the capital for safety reasons. The walkie-talkies we carried were blasted with news about foreigners leaving the country. At the time, it made us even more anxious that we want to leave as well. But after much prayers to seek God's discernment on our crisis, our NGO decided to stay. The main deciding factor was that the United Nations was still around. We were told that as long as the UN stays, we can stay. However, when the UN leaves, then foreigners will have to evacuate. Because one of the purposes of the United Nations is to maintain security and peace in the country. As we had decided to stay, then we began to stock up food, water, and kerosene. We needed kerosene for cooking and lighting in case the electricity and gas supply stopped. We were very much anxious and fearful because we did not know what to expect of the outcome of the war, as we are all caught in the middle of this civil war. As we foreigners felt this way, how much more would the locals feel? Now, many, many locals could not leave the capital stay on. They were lamenting in their homes with their family members, fear of death of their lives, and fear of loss of their houses and livelihoods. Within a week, the fear of the coming civil war had cut off children from the streets and young men from the squares. No one dared to come out of the houses. All shops closed, border closed. It was a ghost town. Only military trucks on the road. We were told to stay in our home 7 to 10 days. Now, no one should go out on the streets. Then we heard bombing started at the outskirts of the capital. It was so loud that as if bombs were flew past over our heads. This carried on days and nights. Later, we heard reports of many casualties, including civilians killed and wounded, many houses destroyed during the intense fighting. The government had successfully regained control. Now, this is just a glimpse of what is it like to be in civil war. And it is like a picture portrayed in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 19 to 22. Let me read it to you. 19. The sound of wailing is heard from this Zion. How ruined we are. How great is our shame. We must leave our land because our houses are in ruins. 21. Death has come in through our windows and has entered our fortresses. He has cut off the children from the streets and a young man from the public squares. And verse 22. Say, this is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. Now, in these verses, God, through his prophet Jeremiah, forewarned his people of the coming invasion by the Babylonians. God gathered a picture of what it would be look like when the invasion happened. Sound of crying and wailing will be heard across the land, for their houses will be destroyed. Death has arrived at the city and their doorsteps. Dead bodies will be laying around with no one to bury them. It would be a terrible, terrible thing to happen to any human beings, especially to a chosen nation of God's people. God calls his people to discern their spiritual condition, mourn, and face a judgment upon them. When the civil war happened in Tajikistan in 1998, the nation was informed the war was in weeks only. It was so short and sudden. But here in the book of Jeremiah, God prepared the nation many, many years in advance. When Jeremiah started his ministry, it was in the 13th year of King Josiah. It was around 6 to 7 BC. Now, the first threat against Judah by the Babylonians took place around 605 BC, where many were taken to exile. So it was about 22 years. So can you imagine that God had prepared in advance for the nations to prepare for the war? What was his purpose, and why did God have to punish his people? What did the nations do? Now, to answer these questions, we need to understand God's plan for his people. But first, we need to understand and know the character of God. My first point is God's chastisement sensitizes our spiritual beings to him and his word. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, "See, I will refine and test them, for what else can I do because the sin of my people?" What sins did people commit? Verse 2 says, "For all are adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people." Then the following verse says, "They make ready their tongue to shoot lies, for every brother is a deceiver. And each speaks cordially to his neighbor, but sets a trap for him in the heart." Then verse 14 says, "They have followed the Baals, as their fathers taught them." Now these verses tells us that God's people committed immorality, falsehood, and idolatry. The sins were repeated from chapter 2 to 9, especially the grievous sin of idolatry. Now, from the history of Israel, we know that Israel was prone to forsake God and worship other gods. They asked for a human king by rejecting God as their king. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 to 8, God told Samuel, "It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods." Now, many kings rule over Israel, but sadly, most of them are bad kings. Only a few were good kings, and during Jeremiah's ministry, King Josiah was one of the good kings. Now, these bad kings married women from other nations, bring their gods into the nation. Not only did they worship these pagan idols, they led the nation astray by worshipping these gods too, thus defiled our holy God. So God charged his people that they follow these worthless idols and forsaking him. They forgotten what had God done for them and did not keep their covenant. They disobey God's commandments to them. Now, the defilement also brought many evil practices into Israel. The people set up their idols in God's temple. They even built high priests to burn their sons and daughters in a fire which God did not command. God in chapter 7, verse 23 to 26 says, "But I gave them this command, obey me and I'll be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you, but they did not listen. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclination of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward, and they did eat more evil than their forefathers. Now, these verses tell us that nations' wickedness provokes God's anger upon them. This is definitely because our God is a holy and righteous God who loves mercy and justice. God's people had neglected God and His word and sinned in the light of God's knowledge. They rejected the many warnings and repentant messages preached by God's prophets to them. God's people deceived themselves thinking, since they were the chosen ones, since they would be safe anyway, why worry that God will really destroy us? Since we are living in the holy city of God and God's temple was with us, God was on our side. Why worry? But the nation had lack of this spiritual discernment of their spiritual condition. They could not lament as Jeremiah did because they feared to see their own spiritual sad condition. They feared to see their wickedness and defilement against God's holiness in the land. They had proven their complete disobedience to God and His commands. Now, until God had to say no more, He would chastise the nation for their good. God had to put a complete stop to their evilness. And we think God was laughing in their heart. Well, good now, I destroy my people. No. In chapter 9, verse 10, God says, I will weep and wail. God was as sorrowful as Jeremiah. Even though there were more verses describing Jeremiah's sorrow, like in chapter 9, verse 1, but God also weeps and wails for the destruction to come because He loves His people and it pains God's heart. Since it pains God's heart, then why would God chastise His people in this way through a war? So that the hardened hearts of the God's people would be transformed to be sensitized to God. Now, God would bring His people back from exile and to make them a holy nation again. But then they would continue the covenant and be a blessing to other nations. Now, this was a mission set up for them in the beginning in Genesis chapter 12. But before this could happen, the transformation in their heart must first take place in the people's spiritual minds and hearts. For God says in verse 24 in chapter 9, let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in this earth. For in these things I delight. Now, God's people needed to be transformed into God's likeness to display His character in their actions and attitudes. So God's chastisement or discipline was very necessary to achieve that. For God Himself practiced steadfast love, justice, and righteousness on earth too. So in other words, God's chastisement does sensitize our spiritual being. It sensitizes us to understand and to know God personally and His plan, and thereby lead us to obey His word and His will to please Him. So God's chastisement also sharpens our spiritual discernment. It makes us more alert to God's prompting. It helps us to better and make wiser judgments in our life situation. I hope by now we could feel some of God's heartbeat. We understand why God needs to do what He did to the people for their good. For example, many of us here are parents or spiritual parents with somebody. And parents love their children so much and give their best for their kids, right? So imagine when our children playing so many hours playing on phones, online games, chats, some sort every single day, thereby neglecting their study, eating and sleeping times, affecting their lives. What would you do? Now, as living parents, it would be of great concern, right? We would talk to them, guide them, you know, to help them to manage their time. But however, if our children persist in their behavior, what would we do? Sometimes enforced discipline is necessary for their good so that the habit will not develop into an obsessive behavior and for their well-being. Now, our loving God did what was best for His people in the book of Jeremiah. so as the people will walk right with him again. God's nation was committing the sins of immorality, falsehood, and idolatry, having in any ways committed such wrongful acts as well. Have we been desiring someone or flirting with someone in our workplace or institution which we know is wrong? Or have we been spending hours and hours on online chat with a suspicious person whom possibly can harm us? Or perhaps we get out in the middle of the night to go online to see a particular website which is bad for us? Or are there any kind of false dealings in our lives, like getting a business deal or dishonest gain through lying? What is happening in our lives right now? Do we know? Can we discern our spiritual condition? Now, 2 years ago, I went to a shop to buy an electronic device. The deal also gave me free gifts as part of that promotion. Now, the shop assistant was very helpful in the entire transaction. However, during the processing of the invoice, she said she could not reflect the actual model I purchased on the invoice. Instead, she put another model. But she assured me that it is all right, you will have no problem, it's their usual practice, you know. Customer had not faced any problem by it. So I thought, since it was just an invoice, I paid for what I bought, there was no dishonest gain. And it would be so troublesome to stop the transaction halfway. So I agreed to it. Now, long after the transaction, when I reached home, I received a text message from the company to confirm my purchase of the model stated onto the invoice. At the point in time, I felt guilty, okay? The fact that I agreed to put on a paper a model which I did not purchase, it was already a lie, a false dealing. But I put up with it. I did not let this guilt feeling bother me. I carried on the day. Then something happened in the night. While I lie down on my bed, that guilty feeling came back and became so strong that I thought I was having a panic attack. Well, I was so panicky. Is it what's wrong? No, I thought I need to call in, you know. But then God reminded me that James 5:16 to confess it to a friend. So I called my friend and confessed to her. But James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." So after confession, the panicky panic feelings, the guilty feeling disappeared. I confessed to God and asked for his forgiveness. I felt so terrible as I suffered the consequences of my sin. This experience has sensitized me to God that I learned my lesson that day, that I would not do it again because it was an unrighteous act. Thank God for his discipline on me. It made me aware of my sin. And can you imagine, without God's intervention, I could have died again and again, thinking that it's okay, it's normal, people are doing it, it's just all right. If that happens, then I'm losing my sensitivity to God's prompting and his word. And this will lead me to live in deception and refuse to acknowledge God. Now, God is a loving and patient God. He waits for us to confess our sins and repent from our wrongdoings. He gives us many chances to return to him, and he has given us his words. We can learn from the mistakes of the nation Israel. God gave them many opportunities to repent and return to him, but they stubbornly refused. And God has given them his commands as well. The nation had lack or no spiritual discernment on their sad spiritual condition. They willfully disobeyed God and his commands. We can respond rightly to God today by repenting from our wrongdoings. Talk to a trusted person about it. Don't wait for God to discipline us for our good. Now, we cannot look at the nation Israel or our own spiritual condition with our own wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We are living in a world that is not getting better. In fact, it's getting worse. If we were to flip the newspaper every day, we read, there are so many evil things going around us to our dismay. Recently, if you were to read the newspaper or even in the online Straits Time, now there is this issue of so-called kidnapping in international schools where the van were on the road and then to ask these girls from the international school to ride onto the vehicle. So it's very scary things that are happening around us. And imagine there are a lot more evil things around us. And such times like this, God called us to seek his wisdom of discernment through his word personally and corporately. Now, this is my second point. Now, verse 93 to 94, which is the key verses in chapter 9, says this: let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let he who boasts this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. Verse 10:3 show us three fading glories of the world: human wisdom, human strength, and riches. In contrast to verse 23, verse 24 tells us three unfading ones: the steadfast love, the justice, and righteousness of God. Now, these verses remind us that the worldly glories we pursue each single day are but just temporary, not substantial things, not for us to brag about. What is really important to God is our pursuit of him. Now, to understand God means to have the knowledge of God. To know God is to know the character of God and his will as well, to know his plan and to do what pleases him. Now, our attitude and actions ought to display God's character and his will. Now, where do the knowledge of God comes from? The Bible. How do we know the character of God? From the Bible. Where can we know the plan of God? From the Bible. We need to know the word of God well enough, because the word of God is the wisdom of God. God's wisdom informs us of his character and his will. How is our reading of the Bible? Are we spending more time reading other things than the Bible itself? Has it become our idol? What are we feeding our minds and our hearts? If we feed it with God's word more each day, then we will be more sensitized to God and his word. We'll be able to discern God's prompting and lead us, which will lead us to obey in doing his will in our lives. In other words, it will prevent us from sinning against God. However, if we feed our minds and our hearts with many hours of online games, movies, serious shows, and meaningless stuff, then we become less sensitive or complacent in our spiritual condition. Where are we right now? Do we know? What are we going to do about it? You know, if we want to know God's will for our lives, if we are seeking God's wisdom about it, then we really need to be intentionally spending more time reading the Bible. There is no shortcut. God will definitely speak through his word if we earnestly seek him. Now, if we desire to read and find it difficult to keep up with our Bible reading, go and find someone, like-minded people or cell members, to do it together. Maybe to read through the WhatsApp or Bible reading plan. Maybe consider cell groups to start a reading program to encourage some members to be accountable and read the Bible together so that we can understand and know God better. Now, if you desire and cannot find anyone to read the Bible with you, you can come and look for me. I will arrange something for you. Now, the nation Israel claimed to know God since they were the chosen nation, and since God has been sending prophets to teach and guide them, but their attitudes and actions reflected the evilness of their hearts. They did not practice God's commands to them. God's steadfast love, justice, and righteousness were not reflected in their life. So was God's plan. In their deceit, they refused to acknowledge God. Now, the nation had lacked wisdom of discernment of their spiritual sad condition. They did evil in God's sight. Their spiritual hearts were not changed. And this is the problem. Verses 25 and 26 tells us, the days are coming when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, and even in the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Now, circumcised in the flesh and uncircumcised in heart means there's no inward change of heart. For the inward heart to be changed, we first there must be a need to know, there must be a change. And this requires not our human wisdom, but the wisdom of God to know we need to change. Simply, we can't see our blind spots or hidden sins with our own wisdom or human efforts. We need God's help. We need God's wisdom to discern our spiritual condition and environment. We need the Word of God. We can don't sin against God if we exercise spiritual discernment by obeying God's word in our lives. Now, if we have been spending hours and hours on our phones, online chat and games, or go to a particular website, I pray that God will give us a thinker. And that we will be sensitive to God's prompting in our hearts. We will pause and ask ourselves, why am I spending so many hours on this? Why I can't just let it down? Why am I so attached to this thing? Has it become my idol? Now, if we truly seek God's wisdom about it, God would answer us. He will guide us through His word. We just need to pause and seek Him. However, when we have heard God, then we must obey and do what is right before Him. Otherwise, we are inviting God's discipline into our lives, and we must be ready to bear the consequences of our actions then. Now, if we sense something is not right about our group members or anyone in saying or doing certain things, then as God's family, we should seek God's wisdom to discern and talk to this person generally out of love. Now, if in our working environment, our boss or colleague suggests to us or to the whole team to deliberately withhold certain information which will affect the buyer's decision, which is an act of honesty, a dishonesty, then I pray that God will give us a prompting to discern the situation with His wisdom. Even we are the one who make the decision transaction directly. Okay, even we are not the one who make the transaction directly, but the fact that we knew about it and did not disagree to it, it means that we have agreed to the dishonest act as a team member, which we have seen already. You know, I stay in the West. Every day on my way home, I will walk the usual way from my MRT station. Since last year, I noticed this police board which was placed on a pathway which caught my attention. Now, the regular changes to this board is the updating of the month. Now, while I was looking at it, two boys passed by and they laughed at this. As we look at this, we might laugh also. The board says, WeChat sex scam, this vicinity, January 2018. We may think, who will fall into such deception or trap? Don't we know that the goal of such scam is to cheat money? But why many people are still falling into it? And at one point, even publicity of such awareness was placed at MRT station platform and newspaper, if we notice. Then one night after a late meeting, I took a bus home. I saw a notice printed as an advertisement to alert the public of online scam. Now, the advertisement reads as, "Wow, there are many great deals online. Check before you pay. Do not be a victim of a scam." Now, how do we discern such environment? It seems to me that many people falling into deception out of a personal needs or a personal gain. And it had caught the attention of our country. That's why the publicity was put out, even the MRT by the police, all these things to keep us aware. And we realized that many people who have fallen into this trap may not know God personally. They have really had lack of God's wisdom. We need to pray for them as pray for their salvation. Now, putting up the notice board and notice help us to alert public so as to make a conscious awareness of what is happening in the environment. However, the board or notice is only a follow-up measure after the event or scene had happened. It is still not a complete preventive solution. But our loving God has given us a permanent preventive measure. Do we know? He has given us His word, the Bible. The Bible is a permanent preventive measure that God has already given us. We must reuse it and know it. We need to seek His wisdom of discernment through His word, through the Bible, personally and corporately. Obedience to God's word will keep us from sinning. We need to be a doers of God's word. For the word of God will sensitize our spiritual beings to God and His word. Now, if we desire to read and obey God's word in our lives, but we struggle in keeping up to it, we can ask for God's help. If this is your desire, I'll pray for you. Now, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Now, if we desire to seek God's wisdom of discernment personally and corporately, and God has promised us He will freely give us, if this is your desire today, I will pray for you. Let us now respond to God by observing some silence. We are thankful that God has given us His word, the Bible, to us freely. God desires us to read and obey His word in our lives. If you desire to read and obey God's word, but struggle to keep up with it, and you will know you need God's help, will you raise your hands and I will pray for you? I see your hand. I see your hand. Any more hands? I see your hand. Any more hands? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hands that have raised. You saw their sincere hearts wanting to please you, to read and obey your word in their lives. Lord, I pray that you will change their spiritual beings by increasing their desire to understand and know you more. You will read your word intensely and do what it says, and you will be blessed in what they do. And may they be desensitized to your spirit of God in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to speak to another group of people. We are thankful of God's promise in James chapter 1, verse 5, that God will give us wisdom freely as we ask Him without doubting. If it's your desire to seek God's wisdom of this sermon personally and corporately, will you raise your hands and I'll pray for you? I see your hand. You are seeking God's wisdom. God says in James 1:5 that He will freely give us and will receive it without doubting. We receive in faith. If it's your desire, I can pray for you. You can raise your hands. I see your hands. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see your hand. Any more hands? Okay, let us pray. God, we thank you that you saw the hands that have raised today. Lord, we thank you for their sincere desire to seek your wisdom, Lord. Lord, as you have promised in your word, James chapter 1, verse 5, I pray that you release your wisdom from heaven right now upon our brothers and sisters, and that they will receive it in faith. Teach them with your wisdom, not only to discern their own spiritual condition, but also the people and environment around them. Use them as a blessing where they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.